Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Lucky Girl Podcast, your go-to podcast for creating your dream life. I'm your host, Lexi Prieto, and I hope you're ready to enter your luckiest era ever. Hello, lucky girls. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited to have you guys here. We took a little break from the podcast. We went on a little, I would say, month-long hiatus just to regroup, get ready for season two, and just really try to find my way back to the lucky girl lifestyle. I'm going to be very honest with you guys. I have been growing tremendously these past couple of months. 2025, I'm not going to lie, hit me like a fucking bus. And to be honest, it's been kind of a rocky start. So I always want to show up as authentically and truthfully as I possibly can on the podcast. And with this podcast being the Lucky Girl Podcast, I always want to show up as positive as I possibly can. But the truth of being a lucky girl, and we've talked about this since day one, is that you have to cherish the good and the bad, because we're not always going to have the most amazing days. We're not always going to be the happiest version of ourselves. Sometimes we kind of have to go through our dark periods so that our lucky days are that much sweeter. So I'm so happy to be back, to be here for episode 60. This episode is so fun. I'm so excited to talk to you guys about this. But before we get fully into the synopsis of this episode, let's go ahead and get our other social medias out of the way. If you want to follow the podcast Instagram, stay up to date on all the goings on in the podcast, is going to be at Lucky Girl Pod. That is LuckyGirlPod, Lucky Girl Pod. If you want to follow my personal Instagram, I have been posting so much. I posted about my birthday, which I cannot wait to get into in the weekly recap. Spoiler alert, there is a story about a horse named Sawyer, and I am so excited to tell you guys. But if you want to follow my own personal Instagram account, that is going to be at Lexi G Prieto. It is LexiGPrieto. I cannot wait to become besties with you. I also have a YouTube, TikTok, and Pinterest under the same handle, Lexi G Prieto. I'm just so excited to connect with you guys. But now that we have that out of the way, let's go ahead and get into what episode 60 is going to be about. Like I said, we took a little hiatus. We took a little bit of time off. Let me go ahead and kind of explain what I've been going through these past couple of months. As I kind of hinted at when I first opened up this episode, I have been going through a very turbulent time, I guess you can say. 2025 rocked me, and I was not expecting it, because at the end of 2024, I felt like I was at the top of my game. I was just getting back into my fitness, my working out at the gym, and I was finding things that I loved and was passionate about. And I felt my best physically. I felt my best mentally. I let go of so many things. Like, I closed so many chapters of 2024, and I was ready, full steam ahead, to start 2025 the best version of myself. And then life happened, and within the first couple weeks of 2025, I'm not going to say I got my heart broken, because I don't think that's accurate. I got my feelings hurt, let's say that much. And it kind of rocked me, because it made me rethink the habits and the way in which I see life and the way in which I live my life that isn't always productive to the lucky girl lifestyle. So I've been going on this journey to grow, this very spiritual and, you know, this, what's the word? I've just been wanting to intensify my practice within living the lucky girl lifestyle. So one of the big things in living the lucky girl lifestyle is learning self-compassion, learning self-love, and how to be your own best friend. Moreover, be the person that you love to be. This is going to be episode 60, Date Yourself Instead, Learning to Value Yourself and Finding Your Focus. I am so excited to talk about this, because I'm going to be honest, I will be the first one to raise my hand and say I have been unlucky in love. Lucky in life, unlucky in love. Isn't that how that saying goes? I have terrible dating history. And one day I will just dive right into all of that. But I had realized within the past couple months of 2025 that one of the big things within my dating disasters is that I have a really hard time focusing on myself when there's another person in the mix, because I, as a people pleaser, as a recovering people pleaser, I should say, because I'm learning to not be, but as a recovering people pleaser, the second somebody is in any way in need of me, or I have the formula or something to make them better, I will full steam ahead try to make them better, even if it is diminishing what the supplies that I have for myself to make myself better. And that is a big thing that I have been working on. So this is why episode 60, Date Yourself Instead, is such an important one. I am so excited. That is a little synopsis. Let's go ahead and hop right into the weekly segments of this episode so that we can get into the meat of it, because genuinely this episode is so exciting. If you're new to the podcast, we always have three weekly segments. We have the weekly recap, we have the lucky girl obsessions, and the what has made me feel lucky this week segments. So we always start with the weekly recap, just so you guys know my life a little bit more. You guys can feel like we are best friends, because we really are. We are a community, we're a family, and I want you guys to just know what I go through. So starting off on the weekly recap, let's begin. It's going to be more than a weekly recap because, like I said, it's been a while since we've talked, but let's start the closest to when I'm recording this episode. I just got back from the most magical 8-day vacation on the East Coast with my sister, and it was so rewarding. It was so much fun. First of all, my sister Grace, which she has been on the podcast before, I've talked about her many a time. I adore her. She is so wise, and she knows my entire life. She knows everything I've been through. Like I said about my dating disaster, she knows it before anybody else. She knows it before I even get on this podcast to talk about it. She is my soundboard for literally everything. So we had decided for my 23rd birthday, which just passed, happy birthday to me, that we were going to take a trip to the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee to reconnect and find ourselves again. Because the same as I just explained to you, I was explaining to her that the beginning of this year, I just kind of lost my way, and I've been trying to find my way back to the lucky girl lifestyle. So she was like, what if we disconnect, go stay in a cabin in the woods for 5 days and just try to become better versions of ourselves? Perfect. This is exactly what I wanted. So on my birthday itself, March 28th, I spent in Virginia with her, which is where she lives. We started out in the morning. I woke up to a sign on the door saying, do not open this door from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Birthday prep in progress. I wake up pretty early and I see the sign. So I was like, okay, I can't go out. So I'm sitting journaling and the door kind of just creaks open. And then she just starts busts out laughing because she sees that I'm not in the bed. And I start laughing. She's like, okay, wait. Okay, I'll tell you when to come out. So she closes the door. She tells me to come out. I open the door to this magical birthday wonderland with streamers, a birthday banner, and my gifts on the kitchen table. We dance to Taylor Swift's We Are Never Getting Back Together. We are vibing. It is such a high frequency morning. I had the best time. Then she made me breakfast as I finished journaling. After that, we went to the gym. I showed her my gym routine, and then we went back home, got ready, put on my birthday outfit, which was such a yeehaw cowboy birthday outfit. It is on my Instagram. I wore a denim dress and cowboy boots. We went to one of our favorite coffee shops where she lives. We had coffee. We walked around. We hung out. And then that night, we met up with my other sister. We went to Virginia Beach and we played pool. We ate some good dinner. I had the best fish tacos I've ever had in my entire life. And all in all, it was just the most amazing 23rd birthday. One of my favorite birthdays ever, really. I felt so loved. I felt so seen. I felt so valued. And it just reminds me why I'm so grateful to have my sisters and my friends in my life, because throughout the entire day, I was just getting spammed with text messages that were more than just like, happy birthday. It was, happy birthday, you're an amazing person. And it's just like, not even to build myself up. It's just those personal messages that obviously all these people really thought them out. They're so well thought out and so sweet and so kind. And I took every single one to heart. And I just am so grateful for the life that I am living. And I'm so grateful for the friends that I have and the people that I've met within this past year. It's just genuinely, I'm so lucky. I really am the luckiest girl in the entire world. And my birthday was just so amazing. And then a couple days later, we drove up to Tennessee together. We got the cabin, beautiful cabin in the middle of the woods. It was great. We spent 5 days there. The big thing that was the entire like focal point of the trip was that we were gonna go horseback riding. It was on my bucket list. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast before, but I always have one random thing that I want to do on my bucket list a year. Last year, it was skydiving. I did that. It was fun. I'm probably going to go again this year. And this year, it was horseback riding. So we get to the ranch, and I didn't realize until we were standing in line to be paired up with the horses that I was like, oh, these are wild animals with free will to do whatever they want. And I started getting a little nervous, I'm not gonna lie. And I don't get scared very often. That is a pride point for me. I will hold a spider in my hand. I will hold a snake. Like, I don't get scared of animals that much. As I was standing there and I'm looking at these big horses and I'm like, oh, okay. Might have bitten off a little more than I could chew. The whole time, all I was thinking about is how cute my outfit is and how well it's gonna pair with a horse. Like, I was so excited. So when we get to the ranch, we're waiting in line. My sister gets given this horse named, are you guys ready for it? Stud Muffin. His name was Stud Muffin. And immediately, all the ranch hands are like, he's such a character. He's such a funny horse. Like, you're gonna love him. He's just so silly goofy. They're calling him Donkey Boy. Like, he's a barn favorite. And then they hit us with, but he doesn't have a lot of horse friends. Oh, okay. Red flag number one, guys. Clocked that. He doesn't have a lot of horse friends, meaning the horses hate him. Clocked that immediately. Anyways, people are getting their horses. My sister's already on the horse. I'm waiting for my horse. And this little boy, who is the first one to get on a horse, he's like, I want to get off. I want to get off. They get him off the horse and then they bring the horse back to the stable. I was thinking, give the horse a break. I don't know. Put her back in the stable. And the ranch hand says, you, this is your horse now. Okay. So the horse that was previously somebody else's that he got scared to be on. Okay. Anyways, I'm not scared. So I get on the horse and they're like, this is Bugsy. Great. So excited to be on Bugsy. I'm shaking like a leaf. They put Bugsy right beside Stud Muffin because obviously sisters, they want us to stay together. And immediately Bugsy starts acting a little funky. She starts shifting her weight a lot. Stud Muffin's doing the same. Like, they're kind of like just really wary of each other. And I was like, okay, clock that. Red flag number two. So the ranch hand who is giving us the instructions, she's really only talking to me and my sister. Out of this group of like 10 strangers, she really is genuinely only talking to me and my sister. She's like fixing our stirrups and fixing our saddles and stuff and talking to Stud Muffin. And she looks at my sister. She's like, are you scared? And my sister's like, no, should I be? Because they're saying this entire time how Stud Muffin is like, he'll take advantage of you and he'll try to eat the grass or go off path. So like, you have to be his mom. You have to be very firm. So in total, Stud Muffin is kind of a jerk. Okay. We set off on this trail. I'm about third behind the trail guide. And immediately, Stud Muffin is getting all up on my horse, Bugsy. So Bugsy keeps on literally turning all the way around to be like, hey, back off to Stud Muffin. So I keep on having to overcorrect her in the reins. Mind you, my sister and I have never ridden horses before. This is meant to be for beginners. They said this in the beginning before we even got unhitched from the post. oh yeah, these are trail horses. They know what, they literally just follow behind each other. You don't have to worry about anything. Like, I promise you, it is so chill. They even said you don't really have to be like holding the reins. Just kind of hold on to the very end of it just in case, like whatever. But you won't really have to do a lot of like pulling or tugging. Like, you're going to be fine immediately within the first 5 minutes. Me and Gracie are tugging on these reins for our individual horses multiple times because her horse is being obnoxious, trying to eat the grass, getting all up on my horse. And the trail guide is like, yeah, just pull up on Stud Muffin's reins, make him stop for a second so Bugsy can get ahead of him so he's not annoying her. So my horse is getting really close to the horse in front of her because Stud Muffin is getting really close to her. So it's literally like a train car effect where they're literally like getting really close to each other. And the trail guide eventually is like, okay, we're going to move Stud to the front because obviously he's not playing well with others, but we have to get to this point in the trail where it's flat. So we have about 5 more minutes in the trail before we can stop and move them around. So we're like, great. I'm so nervous. I'm like, this horse is going to buck me off, or this horse is going to go off path, which it kept trying to do because it was trying to get away from Stud Muffin. And I was like, I'm not prepared. If this horse starts galloping, I'm galloping with it because I don't know what to do. Like, I'm scared. At this point, like, the horse is in complete control and I am just a rock on its back. So we get to the point where we all have to stop, and the trail guide was like, okay, everybody just kind of pull up on your reins. You can let them eat grass. We're just going to wait for the rest of the horses to catch up so that we can start moving Stud Muffin around. Because that is how close Stud Muffin was to Bugsy and Bugsy was to the horse in front of her, that there was a gap between my sister's horse, Stud Muffin, and the horse behind her because he was getting that freaking close to her. So as we're sitting there, we're chilling, we're waiting. My horse is literally wedging herself between the horse in front of her and the barbed wire fence. And the horse in front of her gets royally ticked off, is over it, and is like basically saying, you're invading my bubble, like get up out my way. So this horse jumps on its hind legs, does a complete 180, and bites me because I need to deliver that line better. Jumps, does a full 180, guys, and bites me. This horse bites me. He was trying to bite my horse, obviously. He'd be like, hey, you're all up in my space. But whose leg is right there but mine? I got bit by a horse on my birthday trip. And that is the craziest thing I've ever said. And let alone it was a trail horse, which they are always around people. This does not happen. They were literally like, this is a one in a million chance. I'm like, this is not funny, guys. I don't want to be the one in a million. So I got bit by a horse. And that horse's name was Sawyer, hence the beginning of this episode. So the moral of the story is A, never ride a horse named Stud Muffin because he's a jerk, and B, never trust a horse named Sawyer because you'll never know when they'll bite you in the ass, literally. Now I have a frisbee-sized bruise on my upper thigh. And yeah, it was crazy. The ranch hand like jumped off, like the trail guide, she jumped off. She was making her calls to get me and Gracie to go back, my sister, to go back to the stable. And she's like shaking, her hands are like shaking. And I was like, okay. And me being me and my Lexi-isms are just popping out. And I'm like, he's okay. Like, he was just scared. Like, I'm literally like defending Sawyer and being like, it wasn't his fault. As I'm like literally convulsing from like about to have a panic attack in the most pain I've ever felt in my entire life. And then we go back, we end up eventually going back to the ranch, like just me and my sister, which that's also a whole nother story, which I'm not getting into. And we go back to the car and immediately I start sobbing in the car. And I will say I only cried for like 2 minutes, but it was the guttural sobs. Like, I was shaking and I was just like, it was just the adrenaline. And then afterwards I was like, okay, I'm fine. So that is how my birthday week played out. The rest of it was so nice. We had so much fun. It was so refreshing for me. And it really did light a fire back in my soul to get back to the best version of myself and to share my life with you guys, because I really genuinely have missed recording the podcast. So I have found a new purpose in life, or maybe not found. I have refound my purpose in life, what I've always known I'm meant to be doing, which is exactly this, helping others become the best versions of themselves as I am learning to be the best version of ourselves. Because in the Lucky Girl Club, we are in this together. So that was my week. The rest of this month has just been go, 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 and focusing on bettering myself. And I'm really proud of myself. I've been reading so many books, and that moves us into the Lucky Girl obsession. You guys know, normally, I only have one Lucky Girl, or normally I have multiple Lucky Girl obsessions because I can't narrow it down to one. But I am so in love with this book that it is the one and only Lucky Girl obsession that I have for this week. And this book is possibly one of the most embarrassing things to be reading in public. I get so awkward and embarrassed every time I pull it out. However, it is changing my life, and it is a book called, you ready for it, How to Be Single and Happy: Science-Based Strategies for Keeping Your Sanity While Looking for a Soulmate. Like I said, reading this in public, I get kind of embarrassed because I'm like, literally, they're all pointing and laughing, being like, look at the single girl. Look at the girl who is unlucky in love. Everybody point and laugh. They all know. They all know, guys, I'm embarrassed. No. But honestly, like, reading the book sometimes makes me embarrassed, and that's completely normal. But I have found this confidence with reading it, though. It also is very empowering because I'm like, yeah, I'm single. Yeah, I'm trying to become the happiest version of myself while being single. I am not in any rush to find a soulmate, and I want to learn more about being single and being happy. And this book really is about tuning into the best version of yourself. And that's what ignited the reason why I wanted to do this episode, Date Yourself Instead, is because this book is all about creating this happier and just brighter version of yourself, so that when a person does come into your life and when you do start a relationship, you're not losing anything. You're not having to, you know, change anything about yourself because you're already the person that you love. And that is so exciting. So this is the best book that I have read in 2025 so far. It has been so much fun to read. I am almost done with it. I'm like 3/4 of the way done. And it is very, very science-based. Literally every other sentence is this researcher or that researcher or this experiment or whatever. But I'm just learning so much, and it is so nice. Moving on to the last segment before we get into this episode is what has made me feel lucky. What has made me feel the most lucky is, honestly, this was an easy answer for me when I was writing this out. What has made me feel the most lucky is my sister, Gracie. I am the luckiest girl in the world to have her as a sister. Not only have her as a sister, but have her as a best friend and a confidant and literally somebody she knows all that I am. She knows everything about me. She knows the embarrassing things that I wouldn't want to tell anybody. Like I said, my failures in relationship, the things that I do that are maybe toxic for me or like whatever. She knows everything, and she doesn't judge me. Maybe she judges me a little bit, but it's coming from a caring place, and she's always ready to help me grow. I will tell her something like, for example, I'm just going to make this up. For example, I'm be like, I'm dating this guy and he isn't that nice to me, but I love the attention. Like I said, making this up, guys. He's not nice to me, but I love the attention. She's literally like, first of all, bitch, you have all the tools to be in a healthy relationship. You are the whole package. You're pretty, you're kind, you're funny, you're smart. Why are you wasting your time on this man? And you know, it coming from her mouth, I'm like, you're right. Actually, why am I wasting time? She is literally my guru. And I hope I'm a guru of sorts to you guys, but she is my guru. But like I said, I am ever so grateful for her. She makes me the luckiest girl in the world. And I cannot wait to see how she grows and how she becomes even more confident and sure and just wiser. Every single day that passes, I swear she just gets wiser. And it's one of her annoying qualities, because I love that about her, that she always has the right thing to say. And I just love it. She's so logical. She's the logical brain to my emotional brain, and I absolutely adore it. But anyways, with that out of the way, it is time to hop into possibly one of my favorite episodes yet. I'm so excited to talk about this. It is a very important topic for me. We are learning to date yourself instead. We are learning to focus on finding who you are and learning to value yourself. So welcome to episode 60. Alrighty, guys. So to hop right into episode 60, I have two parts in this. Part one is how to focus on yourself in a couple-centric world. And part two is finding your focus. So part one, how to focus on yourself in a couple-centric world. Sometimes being single feels like you are the odd man out. You know those funny, like, romantic comedies, those parts in it when the person is single and they walk down the street and for some reason every single person is holding hands. There are babies being held and there's ducks in love and the swans are doing the neck thing and it's just like, oh my God, love, it really is all around us. And you just get so frustrated and you're like, okay, well, why am I the only one that's not in a couple? Why am I the only one that's not in love? This is ridiculous. Let me tell you right now, this is how you make the most of your individuality, because this is how you find your focus and focus on yourself in a couple-centric world before you start looking at every single couple and thinking, oh, they're soulmates, they're meant to be. Pull yourself back down to earth and remember that the reality is that some couples are only together for comfort. Some couples are only together because they're scared of who they are by themselves, because maybe they don't like themselves very much when they're alone. So they choose to be in a couple, even if they're unhappy, even if it's not their soulmate, they choose to waste their time because they're scared to grow. And honestly, we've talked about this before on the podcast, but truthfully, one of the hardest things you will ever do in your life is committing to growing, is deciding that you're going to focus on yourself, because that's scary. You have to admit so much and it is scary. And trust me, being the girl on the 5-year growth journey that I've been on, and I have the rest of my life to go, but being on this journey of self-awareness and admitting when you're wrong and admitting when you're wasting your time and having to maybe hurt people sometimes to come back to yourself and deciding that you would rather be alone than be with somebody who's not right for you. It is so hard, but we are going to create a roadmap of how you make the most of being single, how you make the most of your individuality. So to start, let's talk about with number one, we are going to create your imaginary dating profile. I've been on dating apps before. I will be the first to say it. No success. Literally, no, that's a lie. There's one person I've been on a date with. He was the first person I ever went out with when I moved to California. That was a mistake. Anyways, other than that, fails after fails after fails. Never been out with a single person. Like, even that guy, we never went out on a date, really. So I will say that my dating app history is one big failure, which is fine, because honestly, I don't think I'm going to find what I need on a dating app. But anyways, it is time to create your imaginary dating profile of who you are. And if you've never created a dating profile, you basically talk about your hobbies. You talk about what you're good at. You're talking about, you put your best pictures on there, and you basically talk about why you're the one for that person, for whoever. And to start off with, I want you to answer these questions. First question, what are your hobbies? Second one, what are you looking for in life? And the third one, what is your best qualities? So the reason we are creating this dating profile is because a lot of the times, especially when we're new to our journey of self-love and self-transformation, we don't really know ourselves that well. And we kind of just go about life just flitting through life. Honestly, if I could have a one job title in this life, it would be Angel Fairy Princess, because I just love being happy. I love being kind. Okay, Angel Fairy Sunshine Princess. That's a good one, because I honestly, this is going to sound silly, but I love being happy. I love being kind. I love being like a little fairy and just floating around and giving kindness and sunshine to everybody. And of course, if you know me in my personal life, or if you just know me through the podcast, you can probably tell that I'm a bit of a princess, and I really do value myself, and I love being a princess. It is so fun. So I want you to, one, think about your hobbies. What are things that you love doing? What are things that if a random person came up to you and is like, oh, XYZ is your hobby, explain it to me. Would you be able to explain it in great detail? So some of my hobbies include going to the gym. I am a fitness girly till I die. You know, Pilates. I love that. A big, big, big one for me is journaling. And like I said, becoming more aware in oneself, spirituality and mindfulness is a very big hobby of mine. It's more of a lifestyle, but I'm claiming it as a hobby. And another big one is obviously reading. I love reading. So if somebody came up to me and was like, okay, you like reading, tell me from what have you read lately? I would be able to reiterate at least 5 books in this past month, because I just read. So that's a hobby that I can claim that is truthful. So I want you to sit here. I want you to really think about what your hobbies will be. I also want you to think about, what are you looking for in life? This is your life motto. This is who you want to be. And me and my sisters kind of have this ongoing bit. My sister knows somebody who, she was just this magnanimous person who got anything she wanted. And every time she texts my sister, she's like, I'm on a yacht in Cabo. The next day, oh yeah, I flew to Switzerland with this guy I just met. The next day, oh yeah, I'm in Venice or wherever. And she is just this bright energy in life that just does what she wants and goes about her life. And me and my sister were talking about this, like, is that something we're looking for in life? Do we want to be this person? And in reality, my answer is yes and no. I want to have experiences in life. I want to experience so much. But what I'm really looking for in life is how to become the best version of myself. And in order to become the best version of myself, if I'm dating, is to find somebody that challenges me, to find somebody who nurtures my good parts and challenges my the parts that I want to change and is a soundboard for me and just helps me work on becoming my best self. So that is why that question is here, is because I want you to be very firm of what you're looking for in life. And while you're dating yourself, I want you to really nurture that. And if somebody does come into your life, I want you to really, really, this is a deal breaker for the lucky girls. I want you to ask yourself, are they helping you with that quest in life? And then obviously the best question for me is, what are your best qualities? I want you to really think about the things that you think make who you are, your core values. For me, I think it's being sunshine. I think it's being a bright light, being a happy girl. I love being silly and I love being happy. And I could care less what people think of me when I am in my most authentic state of just being happy and a ball of sunshine. Because honestly, I love being that and I don't care what anybody else thinks of me. And that's another one of my best qualities, is I don't care what people think of me. And that's a quality that I really had to work on learning. So I want you to sit here and I want you to really think about, what are your best qualities? And while you're thinking about that, we're going to move on to number 2 in focusing on yourself in a couple-centric world, is create your perfect partner. And I'll tell you why we're doing this in a second. But I want you to think of, what are their values? What do they bring to the table? And how do they make you feel? Really, really think about your dream partner. And I'm saying, don't think about looks. Don't think, oh, I want a 6'3", dark-haired, handsome guy, or like, I want this beautiful, long-haired woman, like whatever. Don't think about that. No looks. Don't think about looks. Think about these 3 things. What are their values? What do they bring to the table? And how do they make you feel? Once you have this written up, once you have your dream partner at bay, that moves us into the best part of this, is number 3. Becoming your dream partner. I want you to write a roadmap of where you're at to where the quote perfect partner feels for you. So the big one is, what do they bring to the table? For me, I would say resoundingly, they bring me validation and they bring me reassurance that what I'm doing or how I'm feeling in life is, they're validating me. They're letting me know that I'm in the right spot, that I'm doing right. And, you know, as a woman who has dealt with insecurities quite a bit in life, me and my sister were actually laughing about this on our trip, that we were former ugly kids. I will be the first to say that it took me probably until I was 20 to really feel like I leveled up. And it really, honestly, I didn't change at all. Like, my appearance didn't change. I was always pretty. And it's just a reminder that mindset is literally everything. But it took me until I snapped into reality and was like, you know what? Confidence comes from within. And finding your beauty always comes from what you think of yourself. So the reason I asked you to create your perfect partner is because we're becoming that perfect partner. So whatever you felt like they brought to the table, I want you to start showing up for yourself in that way. So for me personally, like I said, my perfect partner will bring validation to the table to remind me that, yes, all these things I was once insecure about are no longer the truth, that I am pretty, that I am kind, that I am generous, and all these things that I sometimes question and get scared of whether being true or not, I'm able to validate that through the actions that I do. So I want you to take your time. Once you figured out who your perfect partner is, I want you to start showing up for yourself in that way. I also want you to romanticize your singleness. And I know, like I said, being in a couple-centric world, it is sometimes hard and it feels like the odd man out to be like, yeah, I'm single. And, you know, honestly, I feel as though our society has deemed it embarrassing to be single sometimes. But if the alternative is being in a relationship with somebody who you don't actually like, but just fills this void in your life, then I would rather be single every second of the day. And I will tell you guys a story. In a past relationship, I was in a love triangle. Like I said, guys, failed relationships. I don't do well in dating. Anyways, I ended up being in this love triangle. I did not get picked. Boo-hoo, whatever. And this person is still in a relationship with the person that they chose over me. And, you know, the person's significant other had told me one day, I just feel bad for you. Like, you must be, I'm so sorry. This is actually so funny. She said, I just feel so bad for you. You must be so lonely. And she was, okay, actually, I'm telling the story wrong. She didn't say this to me. She said this to my best friend. She must be so lonely. Like, I feel so bad for her. And then I run into her a year later. And the first thing she does is she's trying to tell me how happy she is with her partner and like how everything is working out perfectly. And she's really just like so happy. And she really just like wouldn't change anything. And I'm like, I see right through you, girl. Honestly, you're exactly where you were a year ago. That song by Taylor Swift that's like right where you left me, where she's like, I'm still here at the table. I'm still here at the restaurant. That's what it says. When this girl was talking to me about the relationship that she's still in with the person who chose her over me, whatever, I could just tell. I can see in her eyes. I was like, oh, you're still there at the restaurant. You feel the need to validate your relationship to me to make it look like you're so happy and you've never been happier in your life. I'm like, I see you, girl. You're still at the restaurant. It's okay. And honestly, I felt no desire or need to be like, I'm doing so much better than you. I was just like, oh, this is good. Like, I'm happy for you guys. Like, I've moved on. I want you guys to move on as well, honestly. But I want you guys to be so happy. And I meant it. And that in itself was romanticizing my singleness, because I was being directly targeted by this woman who essentially would make fun of me for being single because she was with this person who multiple times did not choose her until the end, when finally she was basically, there's no other option but to choose her because I backed out of the love triangle. But that is a very, very long story that I am not getting into. But in truth, the moral of that story is I embraced my singleness in that moment. I didn't feel the need to be like, oh yeah, like I'm also doing really well and like whatever. No, I don't care. Like I'm doing well within myself. And that was such a freeing feeling. It feels so nice. And it reminded me why I like being single, because I can fill up my own table before I let anybody else in. I could genuinely become the best version of myself before I start looking for somebody else, because in truth, I'm not looking for my other half. I am a whole as is. I'm looking for somebody to walk with me in this life. And that moves us into part two of dating yourself instead. It is finding your focus in this life. Okay, so we know who our dream partner is. We know what we want. We know that we are now going to fill our table with the way we want our dream partner to be. We are going to start showing up for ourselves. So now it is time to find your focus. So do you feel like you're obsessing over somebody who leaves you on red? Do you feel like every time you get involved with somebody, you like them so much more than they like you? And you are playing this cat and mouse game every time you get involved with somebody that's like, how long can I leave them on red after they left me on red? Or I can't text them back because, you know, I already texted and they didn't text me back. Like, this cat and mouse game is sickening. It is time to figure out what you feel that's lacking in life, why you allow yourself to obsess over somebody who leaves you on red. And that is just obviously like a surface level way of saying choosing people that aren't right for you and clinging to them. It is time to figure out why you're feeling this way, why you are gravitating towards these people. And if you're not, and if you're in a healthy relationship, then oh my God, teach me your ways. I am so proud of you, lucky girl, because that is insane. I, however, need this episode more than anybody else because I need to learn this stuff. But it is time to figure out what you feel that's lacking. Is it validation, as I had said before? Is it confidence? Do you maybe not feel as confident or sure of yourself, so you need somebody to kind of boost up that confidence? Because honestly, being called pretty by a handsome guy feels great and nobody is negating that. However, being called pretty by a pretty girl when you're looking in the mirror is even better, because there is no filters on that. You're being so authentic when you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're like, I am so pretty. I am gorgeous. Because, you know, honestly, a guy could be saying that for altruistic reasons. And, you know, you can't always trust what people say. But I want you to figure out why you are allowing somebody to treat you poorly. Is it self-love that you're maybe missing out on? That could be a big one. That maybe you don't have a lot of self-love for yourself, so you're allowing somebody to fill the gap. Like I was saying in the beginning of this episode, of people that are only in relationships because they're scared of to be by themselves. And I wanted to talk about this. I actually wanted to read an excerpt from the book I was reading that I told you guys about, How to Be Happy and Single, that I really took to heart. That I was like, this is a really interesting thing that I want to read you guys. And it's a study about becoming the best version of yourself. So I'm going to read straight from the book itself. Like I said, this is How to Be Single and Happy by Jennifer L. Tates. She is a behavioral psychologist and a therapist. And honestly, this book is insane. I'm loving it. But it says, in a study conducted by social psychologist Tyler Stillman and his colleagues, students completed questionnaires on meaning in life and were also videotaped having conversations with a friend. Later, these videos were rated by independent evaluators who answered questions like, how likable is this person? And how much would you enjoy a conversation with this person? In a second study, the researchers filmed participants introducing themselves for 10 seconds, then again asked evaluators to gauge their likability, as well as to predict how meaningful do you think this person's life is. The researchers found that people with a strong sense of meaning were also perceived by others as having a meaningful life, which in turn made them more appealing. In other words, having a life purpose is beneficial for us and can also facilitate closer connections with others. This is the entire basis of this episode of dating yourself instead, is finding your purpose in life, finding your focus. So now that we figure out maybe what we're lacking, what we feel like we're not having, like I said, it can be confidence, validation, self-love. It is time to grow past the ruminating stage of this realization of feeling like every past partner has let me down and, you know, I just don't have these things and I'll never have these things. No, we are not ruminating. We are deciding right here, right now that we are going to grow past them and give them to ourselves. It is time to fill your time with Lucky You's hobbies. So I want you to really think about what your meaning in life is. This book also does this really cool thing, which I haven't done yet. Maybe I'll try to make it up on the spot, where she's like, I want you to create a life motto for yourself. So say it's your name's Chelsea. So it's going to be Chelsea, confident, powerful, always in charge. Something like that. Something silly. Obviously, it's silly to talk about, but mine would be, I think, and like I said, I'm making this up on the spot, it would be something along the lines of Lexi, authentic, kind, and a ball of sunshine. Something like that. Of honestly, those are the most meaningful things in my life. And like it was saying in the book, where researchers were evaluating conversations that people were having with their friends when they're talking about their meanings in life, they're like, this person seems so likable because they're passionate about life. They have something to be proud of. That is what I want you guys to feel as well. And, you know, as I said in this episode, dating yourself instead, we're not really looking to find somebody. We're looking to fill up our own cups. And if somebody does come into our lives, we are already whole as is. But this is a very important part, to be firm in what your meaning of life is, so that if that person does come into your life, that you are sure of it and you value yourself. And you don't allow this person, like I said, somebody who leaves you unread, you don't allow this person to have a hold on you anymore, because you're like, you know what? I'm getting everything I can possibly need from myself. With that being said, I want to end this episode out with a quote that I love, which is, when you love yourself, life loves you too. And I also love you guys so, so, so much. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you took something from it. I hope you were able to grow throughout this episode. I am so excited for the next steps of the Lucky Girl podcast, and I'm so grateful that you guys are along for this journey. Please remember to leave a 5-star rate and review on whatever podcast streaming platform you are listening on. It helps the podcast so much, which in turn helps me create more amazing episodes for you. I love you. I hope you have the best week of your life. I will see you next Sunday for a brand new episode of the Lucky Girl podcast. Remember to always, always, always stay lucky.